of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee to order. And I note for the record that there is a quorum present consisting of members of Representative Cato and Representative Davis. Absent from the committee are Representative Foster, Representative Fritz Pettijohn, and that's it. Okay, on the agenda before us are House Bill 30, Senate Bill 95, and House Bill 131. And the first bill before us is House Bill 30. The House Bill 30 was heard on February 2nd and placed into subcommittee. The subcommittee has met and returned with a proposed committee substitute. The proposed committee substitute also increases the membership of the Recreational Rivers Advisory Board from 11 to 13. However, in the proposed committee substitute, the appointment of the additional members would be made by the governor instead of by the Matanuska Susitna Borough Mayor. The new members would include the mayor of the Matanuska Susitna Borough or his designate and a member of the Matanuska Susitna Planning Commission. House Bill 30 is accompanied by zero fiscal note from the Department of Natural Resources. And I'd like to, at this time, entertain a motion to adopt committee substitute House Bill 30 for discussions.
I move the adoption of committee substitute for House Bill number 30.
Okay, are there any objections? Hearing none, motion carried. And here to speak on behalf of the proposed committee substitute for House Bill 30 is Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. Of course, the concerns that were expressed in the past, I hope that we have adequately addressed here, if not to the complete satisfaction of everyone, at least to the point that everyone can accept the basic compromise. What we have done in relation to the committee substitute here is propose something that's similar to what was done during the commission on the Capitol Site Planning Commission. This is an advisory committee, and therefore I personally do not really consider it to be an infringement upon the executive powers, although at the same time I'd like to go on and explain to the members of the committee what my legislative intent would be in this, where it states that the governor shall appoint members representing the Matanuska Susitna Borough Planning Commission from the membership of the Planning Commission and the mayor of the Matanuska Susitna Borough or the designee of the mayor, that the shill that we're talking about there simply means that, and I'm trying to word my words carefully here, she'll appoint members representing, say for an example that the governor objects to the mayor if she appoints himself or herself, that the governor may refuse to appoint that person and ask the mayor for a designee. Mm-hmm. If the mayor, of course, refuses to do that, then of course there's a standoff, but that position remains vacant until such times as that standoff can be settled. And the same thing would hold true in relation to the members of the Planning Commission. So, being an advisory committee, and with that intent, I hope, of course, to have addressed the concerns that the administration expressed in relation to overlapping or infringements upon executive powers. And with that, Madam Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone may have.
Okay. For the record, Representative Pettijohn is here. Okay. Representative Davis.
Madam Chairman, Representative Larson, I guess I'm just curious, not about this particular bill, but just in general, would it be possible too quick, that the list, the types of groups for a board such as this, and then also include that they, that a certain percentage of them be from, reside within the Mat-Su borough or something along those lines, would that be still within the intent of having a governor appoint, or would it not?
Yeah, Madam Chairman, maybe I could tell just a little bit of background on where this came from and why we have it. Right after session, the governor's office generated a list of the number of appointees to various boards and commissions within Alaska. The Mat-Su borough, with about 6.8% of the population, had less than 4% of the appointees in the various boards and commissions. And there were two very important commissions that were important to members of the Mat-Su borough at that time. And the Mat-Su borough felt they had several qualified applicants. One had to do with the Tourism Advisory Board when we increased that from 10 members to 20 members. And on that board, the Mat-Su borough got zero. On the Rec Rivers Bill, and of course all of these rivers are within the Matanuska-Susitna borough, that the residents of the borough felt that they surely would get a majority of the representation on this board. And they got 3 out of the 11. Not wanting, of course, to cause any political ramifications, it became our intent then to move the mayor, say, from the ex-official position to an official position on the board. So instead of muddying the waters, we had hoped to solve part of the problem by adding 2 members that would be residents of the Mat-Su borough, and also recognize a segment of the Mat-Su borough that has a keen interest in the development of the Rec Rivers, and those would be elected by all of the residents of the borough. So that basically is why we didn't go with some language of the 1/3 she'll be, but added 2 additional members.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, Representative King.
For discussion, I'd like to move CS House Bill number 30 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to move the committee substitute House Bill 30 out of committee. Any objections? Motion carried. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is Senate Bill 95, and it was introduced by the governor to address a problem that arose from the court's interpretation of statute, Alaska Statute 2945-680. This statute allows a second-class city to place on the ballot with a petition for incorporation a sales and use tax proposal. The courts ruled that since first-class cities were not included in statute, that they were not afforded this right. There is a zero fiscal note from the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, and Jim Plasman, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, is here to speak on behalf of the legislation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Jim Plasman. I'm actually only the deputy director of one of the divisions in the department, but appreciate that recognition.
Oh.
I would like to talk a little bit about the bill before us. The bill was introduced basically to clarify existing law on the subject of incorporation of the boroughs. Currently, there is no express authority to combine on the election ballot the question of borough incorporation and the sales and use tax proposition. The municipal code at Title 29 does expressly authorize this combination of questions in the case of second-class cities. And this bill, the legislation before us, is identical to that language that exists in Title 29 in relation to second-class cities. That appears at 2945710. We think that it makes good sense for two main reasons to provide for this combination of those two questions on the same ballot. First of all, it will help ensure the financial viability of a borough at the time of incorporation, so that proposed municipality will know up front that it has the financial means to carry on local governmental operations. Second of all, it will simplify the incorporation process and reduce costs to newly formed municipalities by combining the two questions in yet one election. Otherwise, the sales and use tax election would have to be held later and at the expense of the new municipality. The department supports the formation of regional governments where the people clearly desire to do so, and this legislation reduces confusion and improves the incorporation process. One other issue involved in this legislation is the effective date of January 1, 1987. This is retroactive to address the recent incorporation of the Aleutians East Borough, which included the sales and use tax proposition on the same ballot as the incorporation question. This issue is part of a legal challenge to the incorporation of the borough, and this retroactive date will take care of this aspect of that appeal and will support the formation of this new municipality. This procedure of linking these two questions on the same ballot is particularly important for proposed municipalities which may not have a property tax base to justify a property tax, and for which a sales and use tax may be the primary tax for the support of local operations. One such potential borough is the proposed Lake and Peninsula Borough, and for which this procedure would be very beneficial. That proposal for the Lake and Peninsula Borough has been approved by the Local Boundary Commission, and an election will need to be held soon by the Division of Elections on that incorporation question. I might note that the bill did pass the Senate without amendment or dissenting vote, and I'm available to answer any questions on this. I would note also that Dan Bockhorst, the Local Boundary Commission staff person in our department, is up in Anchorage to speak on the next bill, 131, and if there's a need for any technical questions, we may be able to pull him on. I don't know if that's possible.
Are there any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman, I move that we move Senate Bill number 95 out of the committee with individual recommendations.
Okay, Representative Cato has made a motion to move Senate Bill 95 out of committee. Are there any objections? Hearing none, motion carried. Thank you. Okay, we're going on to teleconference now.
Christmas.
Hello, I'd like to know if you can hear us before we start.
This is Glenn Allen, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you, Glenn Allen. What about Anchorage?
Yes, we can hear you at Anchorage. This is Mary Ann.
Okay, and Delta Junction?
This is Liz Lamont.
Okay, thank you. That's it, I
think.
Dillingham? Is Dillingham there? Dillingham, can you hear us? Is it listening only for Dillingham?
I don't. Dillingham hears you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, House Bill 131 was introduced by Representative Schultz. This legislation would amend existing statute by requiring that there be 30 instead of 15-day notifications, that there be two instead of one public hearing, that the hearing be held in the area affected, and that a majority of all members must vote in favor of a proposal. The Local Boundary Commission was created in 1960. At that time, there was only about 30 municipal governments in the state. The commission's responsibilities were limited to boundary changes involving only cities. Since then, the state municipal governments have grown to 161. The commission's responsibilities have also grown to include incorporation of cities and boroughs, dissolution of cities, boroughs, and unified municipalities, annexations to and detachments from cities, boroughs, and unified municipalities, and mergers and consolidation of cities, boroughs, and unified municipalities. As you can see, the workload and importance of a commission has grown immensely. This growth necessitates that we take a good look at the statutes which address the procedures guiding and governing the Local Boundary Commission. As the Department of Community and Regional Affairs states in their position paper, some of the existing language is ambiguous. In other cases, we have found that the public does not feel it is adequately being informed of matters of importance to them. We must take a look at our methods of notifying the public, and I would like to see the public telecommunications media included in the public notice requirements. Many of our rural areas rely largely on public radio and RatNet to keep them informed on important issues. We also need to take a look at who should be informed of these procedures. It has become clear that these issues affect and are important to not only those within, but those which are near or adjacent to areas proposed for annexation or incorporations. Many people from all areas of our state have concerns about the process by which boroughs are formed or areas annexed. I therefore plan to place this bill into a subcommittee after taking testimony so that we can look at the many suggestions given to this committee and to allow time for more input from others. It is also important that the Local Boundary Commission be allowed to help us formulate these changes. Members who are interested in serving on this subcommittee should let me know of their desires during the testimony. And here to testify on the bill is Dave Stancliffe for Representative Schultz. And we are on teleconference. Please state your name and address.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Dave Stancliffe, and I am a legislative assistant for Representative Schultz, and have, at his request, done much of the work that has gone into this particular bill. We were asked by constituents in District 17, most specifically the Delta Junction and Copper River Basin area, to do what we could do to help improve the public participation in matters of the Local Boundary Commission. As some of you may know, both the North Star Borough from Fairbanks and has looked at annexing property near the community of Delta, and the Mat-Su Borough has looked at annexing property near Glen Ellen. And because of the interest shown by these two boroughs, the constituents in District 17 have had to come up to speed on what that all means. And they felt somewhat frustrated in looking at the process that has been used by the Local Boundary Commission, and asked if there was anything we could do to help. Many people in our district feel that it would be appropriate to require a public vote before a proposal was sent to the legislature, so that the legislature might know how the public in the area that might be annexed feels about the whole situation. As you know, at that time, that's not a requirement. In looking into whether or not we could do that, our legislative legal people told us that we had to be careful, because the Local Boundary Commission has been blessed with a considerable amount of constitutional authority, and that we should not be diluting that authority without a constitutional amendment. And I might say at this time that we're looking at that possibility too. So this bill is an attempt to work within the framework of that constitutional authority and encourage and require, in fact, the commission to hold more public hearings and to do it in places that are most convenient for the people. In rural Alaska, that usually means the community out there, and to require a full membership of the commission to vote on some of these matters, which can be very controversial. As it stands now, three out of five of the commission would constitute a quorum for doing business. And two out of those three could vote for a proposal, and it would be binding. If this change that we're proposing goes into effect, then it would require a three out of the full five. And that doesn't seem unreasonable in light of some of the controversies that seem to come up when you talk about organization versus unorganization. Representative Schultz wants to make sure that he is recognized as being open to ideas and suggestions along the lines of improving this legislation, perhaps making it less ambiguous if there's a problem there, and welcomes the input and suggestions of the commission, who at least to this point have been willing to entertain some of our ideas. Also, the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, Jim Plasma here, speaking on behalf of them, has worked closely with our office and has been quite cooperative in trying to bring about some positive changes. And so with that, if there were questions, I would try to answer them.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions?
I just have one, and that, if I may.
Okay, Representative Cato?
On the fiscal note, I noticed it doesn't say who was prepared by.
Excuse me.
Oh, okay. On the fiscal note, Mr. Stanford, and I should be asking this to Jim Plasma, it doesn't say who it's prepared by, however, signed by the commissioner. I'm wondering how they arrived at the amount of monies that they have come through on the fiscal note. Does it have to do with travel of the commission? I imagine part of that is advertising. In other words, you want two advertising instead of one. And I mean, two public hearings. Is that what determined the amount of the fiscal note?
As I understand it, and I see Mr. Plasma is nodding his head in the affirmative, the extra meetings, one of which might be a teleconference hearing, would cause an extra cost. They also anticipated that perhaps by requiring hearings in the area, that maybe some extra distance and travel would too. And I'm not sure who put the fiscal note together. I'm assuming that maybe Mr. Plasma did.
Okay. Are there any other questions? If not, then we'll hear from Jim Plasma now.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Jim Plasma with the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, and I know that we've got a lot of people waiting to talk, so I'm going to keep my comments short and sweet here. But let me first of all address the question of the fiscal note. We do that the fiscal note was prepared at my under my supervision, and I apologize for not signing it. That was my oversight. I apologize, particularly to Representative Cato. The assumptions under which we arrived at that fiscal note are contained on the second page of the fiscal note. And it is basically travel, additional travel costs per diem, and some additional monies for contractual for the noticing of those hearings, and so on. So that you were right on in that. Basically, the department supports provision strengthening public participation in the process of boundary change, and is willing to work with this committee, the subcommittee, and the sponsor of this bill to that end. None of the proposals set out in this legislation seem unreasonable to us at this time. We would note that the entire section dealing with the local boundary commission was drafted some 30 years ago, and I think the chair pointed out in her introductory remarks that there is a real change in the situation in Alaska that we're dealing with from that time that would justify a real close and hard look at the entire part dealing with those local boundary commission procedures. We would again like to note that the local boundary commission is an agency set up in the Constitution and is separate and independent from our department. Our department does provide support to the Local Boundary Commission, but that the Local Boundary Commission is an independent body and makes its decisions on its own. So we do think it's important to ensure that they have the opportunity to comment on this at subcommittee. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. We'd like to go into Dillingham right now, and Sue Flensburg, are you ready to testify?
I'm trying. Sue Flensburg has decided to defer to me. My name's Bruce Baltar, and I'm on the Dillingham City Council.
Okay, go ahead and testify.
Thank you. I have a letter of more general comments on the system to your committee. I won't repeat myself. Just real briefly, I think that Representative Schultz's bill is a good step. It's in the right direction. I think that all of the changes in here are needed. However, I would hope that the legislature would also take a look at the standards for incorporations and annexations, which are located in a different part of the statutes. And I would also note that on the procedures, these particular changes don't appear to do anything to address the problem of access to the process by people in adjacent and nearby communities as opposed to those who are within the boundaries themselves. I'm encouraged to hear that the legislature is taking a look at this process, and I think this is a good start. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Balter. There's a question from Representative Cato.
Yes, Mr. Balter, when you were talking about people living nearby or on the fringe or the border of the proposed whatever, don't you think that they would be just as aware of what was going on in as much as our rural areas, that the local newspaper that would be carrying the advertisement does not carry it? Or does or does not carry it? That's one of the things we need to know. And I was wondering if the people on the fringe, like if it goes out over the radio or anything like that, if they would be aware. Let's say in Glen Allen, for instance, the radio station there might carry it. Well, everybody in that hearing area would be aware, whether they were in the area that's being considered or not. Or I was actually, what I'm looking for is some suggestion to try to bring those people in on it. What do you have for that?
I think that the publication over the radio would be a very good idea in this area. Part of the problem in the way it's worked out here is that the communities that aren't directly adjacent, that don't have common legal boundaries with the new boundaries, the proposed borough boundaries, they don't get direct notice, at least under current interpretation of existing regs on it. So the existing procedures give more protection to communities inside the boundaries than they do to those outside, even though the boundaries may actually be closer to those communities outside. And that just needs to be fixed, and I think having radio advertisements would be one good way of doing it, and I think just making sure that all the villages in a region are put on the mailing list, as well as those who happen to fall on the right side of the boundary.
Are there any other questions? Okay, thank you, Mr. Balter. Going on to Glen Allen. Jack Goddard.
My name is Jack Goddard. I'm a member of the Borough Study Group in Glen Allen. So we support this bill, especially in light of the fact that it extends the days of notice to 30. And the reason we do that is because where we live here, there's so many people who live out in the bush country where they don't get their mail that often. And this will give them plenty of time for notice. We feel that in order to get a turnout for any meetings in our area, we have to have a controversial issue. And something like a borough meeting or annexation would certainly cover that criteria. We also support very strongly the idea of the two hearings. I don't believe, I haven't seen the fiscal going on this, but I don't believe that any fiscal note that would be concerning a second hearing would be enough to stop the second hearing. A second hearing is gives everybody a chance to review it a little bit, including the Boundary Commission to review their decision and make what necessary changes might be necessary to suit the people in the area concerned. Also, it might give the Boundary Commission a chance to come out of the meeting with a whole skin. The dissolution of the commission, as mentioned by Dave Sankliff from some lawyer, maybe we need a little dilution of power there. They get pretty strong, and they won't listen to anyone. So maybe we need to get a little stronger public feeling about them. Take some of their power away from them. That's all I have to say. I think we have another speaker here.
Okay, there's a question from Representative Cato.
Wouldn't you know it, Jack, huh? Jack, what is that method of getting in touch with people? I've forgotten, if you can believe it, that goes out over the Glen Allen station, you know, like when somebody in McCarthy needs to get in touch with somebody in Solana?
Caribou Clatter.
Caribou Clatter. Representative Schultz just walked into the room. Jack, thanks for Representative Schultz answering the question I addressed to you. Okay, hon?
Yeah, okay, thanks. That's Caribou Clatter, and you know, we have a radio station that we can put that on for you. We also have two fine newspapers that come out, but they only come out once a week, so that 30-day notice is a good deal because that gives us an extra two weeks of notice time.
Okay, thank you, Jack. Right now we have Representative Schultz here, so we'll be hearing from him.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and members of the committee. Sorry I'm late, but I don't exactly know how much testimony you've received on the legislation. We've, as you know, various decisions that the Boundary Commission has made in the past few years has created quite a controversy, and we felt as though it was necessary to put a piece of legislation before the legislature, and this is a stepping stone. This is in any other ideas or any other criteria that you see that may be necessary to add to this, we are more than welcome to try to make, and I believe that the Boundary Commission also, I don't know if there's any members of the Boundary Commission to testify, but I think that they also are looking for some guidance so that when they go through the process that they feel more comfortable with the decision that they are making. So I think that we can get a lot of support throughout the legislature and everything else because it's going to alleviate a lot of problems and a lot of lawsuits that have been filed in the past. So we need to, and like I say, anything that other legislators, committees, or any other people that have ideas to help strengthen this, I think is welcome, and I have no problem with that at all.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay, we'll go back to Glen Allen, and we have one other person testifying, Rocky Ansel. Rocky, you have the floor.
Thank you.
What did they say?
I didn't understand. I'm sorry, we didn't understand what you said.
There's no one else to testify at this time.
Okay, thank you, Glennon. Going back to Delta, Robert Packard, if you're online, you can testify now.
All right, I'm Robert Packard, and chairman of the Concerned Citizens of Delta Junction. I think it's an excellent idea, and I think it's a good start in the right direction. One of the parts that was one of our concerns is that we were not holding the hearings in the vicinity of the population that is going to be affected, and this would accomplish that. And I think that is a good start. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Before you go off, could we have your address, please?
Yes, 4852 Becky Lane, Delta Junction, Alaska, 99737.
Thank you. Going on down to Anchorage, we have Dan Bockhurst. Oh, that's with you. He's with you.
Madam Chairman, I was here only to listen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other sites that wish to testify? Okay, if there's not anyone else wishing to testify, we'll close the teleconference and we'll be assigning people to be in the subcommittee for the local boundary commission.
How many committees were on teleconference?
Just the ones requested by your office.
Oh, okay.
And Billy.
This is Dick Schultz, and have all the communities that Glen Allen and Delta pulled off yet? If they haven't, I would just like to request that as you read through this legislation, and if you've got comments, any changes or any ideas that you feel would help strengthen this, would appreciate it if you would forward it to the chairman of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. And so they can include that. Maybe you've already requested that.
Thank you. So you can send them to Pouch V, Juno, 99811, and I'm chairing the Community and Regional Affairs, Eileen McLean. Representative, yeah. I'm not used to it yet. Are there any volunteers to be on the subcommittee? I know I will be on that. Okay, Sherry?
You have three.
Mm-hmm. I'd like three. Okay, the subcommittees will be Sherry Davis, myself, and Representative Cato.
I'd be a part of the working group.
And Representative Schultz. Yes.
Thank you.
Please. Are there any further discussions on House Bill 131? We should be hearing about from the subcommittee within a week or two. We'll report back to the committee. At this time, we'll adjourn since we don't have any other concerns before us. Thanks a lot. We're closing.
We're done.
We're done.
Thank you. Again, I'm sorry I'm late.
Dick, one of the things that I said